Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. For kids, summertime in South Dakota often means a trip to camp. Brett Walfish is the executive director of the Rushmore Music Festival. It's a camp that draws students from across the state and now from across the world. We spoke with him last week about the remarkable growth of the program.
Now, 4 years ago, it was actually a little bit before 4 years ago, and my wife and artistic director, Katie Simonova, she and I had come out here to the Black Hills to visit her mother, who teaches at School of Mines. She's a chemistry professor. And while we were visiting, we got to know some of the music people around Rapid City, and they invited us to join the School of Mines Orchestra to play a concerto with them. And we came back, and it was November, a little bit more than 4 years ago now, and we came out and we played with the orchestra, and we had a wonderful audience in attendance, and it inspired us so much to spend more time here in the Black Hills, and things fell into place. And by the end of the trip, we had a home of actually Black Hills State University offered us a home to make our festival residence at. Mm. And we had our first season that year was 4 years ago. And it was a very humble beginning. We had a handful of students who were local, and they were wonderful to work with. And again, really passionate students. And in working with them, We knew that this area was perfect for what we were looking for. We wanted to be able to work with developing students who have been playing for a while, who just needed the right push in the right direction to see their passion grow into whatever they wanted to see. It also gave us this wonderful audience base that we've come to know and love. The Rapid City and Spearfish communities are both vibrant art scenes with people that love what we're doing. So being able to bring them more great professional classical music, it's been a treasure since we got out here.
Let's talk about this upcoming, the camp itself and the students who are coming in.
Yes, so we actually have our students arriving on July 1st. Last time we spoke, we were talking about how we were a national festival. As it turns out, we are actually really excited because not only do we have students coming from, we have South Dakota represented, we have some students from Florida, New York, Baltimore. We also have a few students coming from Hong Kong this year.
Wow.
And it was an unexpected turn that made us an international music festival. And it was in our dream list for the future. And to see this happening, we have some really talented students, and we're really excited to work with them for the next 2 weeks.
Who is the faculty for this this year?
Sure. So we have in total 10 people on our faculty. We have, so our faculty is violin, viola, cello, piano, and composition. So for violin, we have Suleiman Takali, who won Seoul International a couple years ago. He's a wonderful friend of mine, as well as wonderful violinist. We also have Patrick Yim, who now teaches in Hong Kong. He's played with Cleveland Orchestra on some of their tours recently. And he's, again, a wonderful violinist. Katie is the third violin faculty, myself. Simeon Wasim, who teaches piano, is actually going to be our theory and composition teacher. We have Jisoo Oak for cello, and she does a lot of cross-genres. She does a lot of classical music. She also plays a lot of tango. Ismar Gomez is our other cello faculty, and he plays in a lot of orchestras on the East Coast, as well as in a duo ensemble. We have our two piano faculty, Dr. Mathieu Cognier and Yavor Bracic. Some people that I mentioned before are also doctors of music. Mathieu is from France. He and I have played together for years. He's just a wonderful, charismatic performer, a great friend. And Yavor Bracic, who this will be his third summer with us, and he's, again, I can't say enough of how great our entire faculty is. We also have an observation program for people to attend and support our students by observing and seeing what it's like to be in the day of in the life of a student.
Okay.
And if people come in the morning, they'll get to see our Dalco's teacher, Michael Gioviala, who will be teaching our students how to experience music through physical movement. Hmm. Which is so important to us that our students not only gain the technical skills and have the practicing time and coachings, but also that they understand how to experience music too and share that.
You talked about kind of giving kids the push in the right direction, and then you also talk about these great relationships that you have. And I'm wondering, as some of them continue in their music lives, education, maybe even career, those relationships have the potential for lasting a lifetime of friendship and professional collaboration, don't they?
They really do. And one of the things that drew me into the music profession was all the relationships that I got to meet and form with so many of my great colleagues, really across the globe. I've had wonderful friends and colleagues in my school programs, but at summer festivals, it's such an intense environment over a short time with people that bonds grow that truly last a lifetime. Some of my closest friends are people that I went to Bowdoin with. Suleiman and I went to Bowdoin International Music Festival 10 years ago together, and that's how we first met. Katie, our my wife and artistic director, she attended Meadowmount for 6 years, and she three of her five bridesmaids at our wedding were friends from Meadowmount. Me and Katie met at Heifetz International Music Festival, and this just speaks to how strong the connections on a personal friendship level are within music festivals. And it's also worth saying to somebody who's out there who's maybe not planning on going into a musical career that a lot of the people that attend these festivals who are very talented at their instruments, a lot of them don't have the desire to make music their profession, and that's okay.
Right.
Because we're teaching the art of communication, and the instrument is our means of doing that.
As you look at what you have created here, and sort of the way it's grown so quickly, and the support that you've received in the Black Hills and beyond, what are your hopes for the future for this festival?
You know, we've been lucky in that being here for 4 years, we've seen how quickly a community like Rapid City and Spearfish can really change for the better, how much they embrace the arts. And as somebody who lives here now, part of the draw to moving here wasn't just my ability to grow the festival by myself. It was really my ability to be a part of our community here, to be a part of it, to be a resource for people who might have questions about what's the role of arts in our community? How can the arts become more central in our community? And part of our mission as a festival is to be in the community. Mm-hmm. We want the people here to know that we are the Rushmore Music Festival. We are one piece of a whole that contributes to this beautiful, vibrant culture that is here in South Dakota.
Let's close with where the public can come see the performances at the end of the camp.
Absolutely. So we have five concerts that I would encourage people to come to. And you don't have to, and for anybody out there, five sounds like a high number. You only have to go to three if you want to see everything. So
yeah.
In Spearfish and in Rapid City, we repeat our program. So on Saturday, July 7th, and on Sunday, the 8th, at 2 o'clock, we'll be playing. Saturday will be in Spearfish in Meyer Hall, and Sunday will be at First Presbyterian Church, downtown Rapid City. Fast forward a week, so we have the 14th and 15th of July. It'll be the same thing. So Saturday at 2 o'clock, we'll have Fantasies and Fireworks, which is the title of that program, in Spearfish at Black Hills State University's Meyer Hall. And then on Sunday, we'll be playing again the same concert at First Presbyterian Church downtown. And then I want to urge every listener out there, because we would love to see you, to come see our students perform on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock in Meyer Hall. We will have our student showcase. We call it Rising Stars Student Showcase. And you will see all the hard work of our students over the last 2 weeks. You'll also get to perform to participate, because we have a annual chamber music competition. So the second half of the concert will actually be the competition that the students will be competing in. And one of the prizes is, in fact, an audience choice award. Yeah. And it's a great opportunity for any of you out there to make your voice heard in voting for who you really loved and want to see again.
What does it mean for those students to have a full house? You know, after they've put the work in that they've done, it's been a pretty intense time for them to look out and see that, you know, all that support in the audience. It has to mean a lot to them.
It really does. Seeing all those, you know, seeing as many faces in the audience for those students means so much. They will be here. So every day for the next 2 weeks, they will be waking up at 8 o'clock and they will be in their practice room at 8 o'clock in the morning. They will be there for 2 hours every single day, because for us, it's so important that we carve out 2 hours a day for every one of our students to really dive in and explore their instrument and grow as much as they can. So they'll be practicing 2 hours, and then they're going to be having private lessons every day and team music coaching, and they're going to be rehearsing on top of that. It's an intense, action-packed week for 2 weeks for them. And for them to see smiling, shining faces in the audience as they share what they've been learning, it really means the world to them.
Brett, thank you so much for joining us today. You're always welcome back.
Thank you so much, Lori.
Brett Walfish is Executive Director of the Rushmore Music Festival, and you can find more about the program and buy tickets at rushmoremusicfestival.org.